So, I don't know what the point that was. Never mind. I forgot.
Thank the light, everyone. I am your burning feathers, Sedai. And these are my wolf brothers.
Oh, we're starting now?
Okay. No, we just start. We started then.
I will be your unprepared Sedai.
And I will be the lead to your Clementine.
Oh, I'll dig your fucking grave.
Did you ever do like the mean stuff to it? Like one time it's like you have like a candy bar and you're supposed to share it with Clementine. And it, you can also like keep it for yourself. You're like, hey, Clementine, I'm hungry too.
Are you a dick when you play games? Are you?
Sometimes I can't do it the first time, but sometimes I go back and I'm totally a jerk. Yes, I have to. I have to see like.
That's what, dude.
What would Lee say in this situation?
That Baldur's Gate game, man. There's sometimes I'm like, fuck this guy.
Yeah, seriously.
Most time I'm nice in the way the first time through, just because I'm like, I play it like how I would probably, as close to how I would answer it myself.
I played the Knights of the Republic.
Sometimes I'm in a bad mood and I tell strangers on the road to go fuck themselves.
I'm sure you did this too, Justin. Did you go through Knights of the Old Republic and the light side and then go through on the dark side?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
you have to.
Just to tell you where I'm at video game wise, like I was telling you how I like tried Baldur. I spent literally like 2 hours trying to find a new video game that I really wanted to play. And then I just ended up playing Tony Hawk all night.
Dude, if they... So Baldur's Gate is basically...
Tony Hawk.
Knights of the Old Republic. No, yes.
Yeah.
There's skateboards and everything. You can grind dragons. They can... It's basically like Knights of the Old Republic. It's a turn-based game. It's very, very similar, kind of overhead. And if they all they'd have to do is make it a Star Wars story and they could just make an awesome game. Like they could literally just take the engine and write a good story and it'd be fine. Make some maps. That's it.
Well, I've been wasting my entire life away playing Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. I've just...
Oh.
That game is...
That's not the new one even.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, the new one is Tears... Why does that not sound right? Tears of the Kingdom just doesn't sound right.
Tears of the Kingdom is the new one. And good Lord. It's just... There's so much to do always. Like it's...
There's too much to do.
Too much.
Yeah.
Okay. So tonight... You guys heard it, you know, a week ago or whatever, 2 weeks ago. But, you know, we're going to try to cheer Jeremy up a little bit because the last episode was, which we softened him up with some Star Wars talk so he didn't get too depressed. And we talked about the Wheel of Time show. And now we're going to give him some book learning to cheer him back up, make him happy again.
It's like giving a pill to your dog wrapped in hamburger meat. Yeah.
So tonight we're talking about Chapter 7. And we have a clip. You know, we recently talked about the bubbles of evil. Everybody's still in the stone, but you can tell some shit's popping up. We're Chapter 7, Shadow Rising. And everybody's getting restless and trying to leave the stone. Moraine is really trying to push Rand to do anything because she's worried about the Forsaken coming to get him. The Wonder Girls have been trying to interrogate the Black Aja and basically getting nowhere. Moraine has talked about these stone doorways that could maybe give them some answers, but, you know, are very dangerous, very vaguely. So we've kind of missed that over the last two chapters. And then we're at a spot right now where Matt has met with Tom about the bubbles of evil. Perrin has as well. Moraine is milling about using the stone doorways that we just talked about. She explains why it's not so simple. Jeremy, do you have anything to add to that? Like, as far as, you know, when they're talking about, why can't we just go do this, Moraine? She's like, dude, like explaining the Finn a little.
No, you did good. Okay. Hey, here's guys, you should read this chapter and really get into it and then realize it's not going to be in the TV show.
Yes. But Jeremy, the reason why we're doing this clip is because I want you to listen to the clip and tell me what you think about, like, would this be a good way to show the power scale of the magic a little bit?
Where do you want to start?
11:30, and it'll go to about 23 minutes. We might stop a little earlier, but it's a little long. You can cut some out judiciously if you want, but it's got some important shit in it.
The Shadow Rising, Chapter 7, Playing with Fire.
Elaine and Egwene are going to visit Rand right now. Two things are going to happen right now, and one of them is they're going to try to help him learn to channel. They want to, you know, they want to help him. They both care about Rand, but the main reason they're going to see is so that Egwene can basically break up with Rand and pass him off to Elaine.
Like a piece of meat.
But it's funny because he's immediately suspicious about it. He's like, why are you here? And then, you know, here comes the clip. Hijinks ensues, right?
He stopped buttoning up his coat, staring at the daughter heir so intently that for a moment Egwene thought he had forgotten she was there. With a shiver, he pulled his eyes away. Glancing at Egwene, he shifted his feet and frowned at the floor. I will try, he muttered. It'll do no good, but I will. What do you want me to do? Egwene drew a deep breath. She had not thought convincing him would be this easy. He had always been like a boulder buried in mud when he decided to dig his heels in, which he did far too often. Look at me, she said, embracing Sidar. She let the power fill her as completely as it ever had, more completely, accepting every drop she could hold. It was as if light suffused every particle of her, as if the light itself filled every cranny. Life seemed to burst inside her like fireworks. She had never before let this much in. It was a shock to realize she was not quivering. Surely she could not bear this glorious sweetness. She wanted to revel in it, to dance and sing, to simply lie back and let it roll through her, over her. She made herself speak. What do you see? What do you feel? Look at me, Rand. He lifted his head slowly, still frowning. I see you. What am I supposed to see? Are you touching the source? Egwene Moiraine has channeled around me 100 times and I never saw anything except what she did. It doesn't work that way. Even I know that much. I am stronger than Moiraine, she told him firmly. She would be whimpering on the floor or insensible if she tried to hold as much as I hold now. It was true, though she had never before rated the Aes Sedai's ability so closely. It cried out to be used, this power pulsing through her stronger than heart blood. With this much, she could do things Moiraine could not dream of doing. The wound in Rand's side that Moiraine could never heal completely. She did not know healing. It was considerably more complex than anything she had ever done, but she had watched Nynaeve heal, and perhaps with this great pool of the power filling her, she could see something of how that could be healed. Not to do it, of course, only to see. Carefully, she spun out hair-fine flows of air and water and spirit, the powers used for healing, and felt for his old injury. One touch, and she recoiled, shivering, snatching back her weaving. Her stomach churned as if every meal she had ever eaten wanted to come up. It seemed that all the darkness in the world rested there in Rand's side. All the world's evil in a festering sore only lightly covered by tender scar tissue. A thing like that would soak up healing flows like drops of water on dry sand. How could he bear the pain? Why was he not weeping? From first thought to action had taken only a moment. Shaken and desperately hiding it, she went on without a pause. You are as strong as I know it. You must be. Feel, Rand. What do you feel? Light. What can heal that? Can anything? I don't feel anything, he muttered, shifting his feet. Goosebumps, and no wonder. It's not that I don't trust you, Egwene, but I cannot help being nervous when a woman is channeling around me. I am sorry. She did not bother explaining to him the difference between channeling and merely embracing the true source. There was so much he did not know, even compared to her own scant knowledge. He was a blind man trying to work a loom by touch, with no idea of colors or what the threads or even the loom looked like. With an effort, she released Sidar, and it was an effort. Part of her wanted to cry at the loss. I am not touching the source now, Rand. She stepped closer and peered up at him. Do you still feel goosebumps? No, but that's just because you told me. He gave an abrupt shrug of his shoulders. You see, I started thinking about it and I have them again. Egwene smiled triumphantly. She did not need to look around at Elaine to confirm what she'd already sensed, what they had agreed upon earlier for this point. You can sense a woman embracing the source, Rand. Elaine is doing just that right now. He squinted at the daughter heir. It doesn't matter what you see or don't see. You felt it. We have that much. Let's see what else we can find. Rand, embrace the source. Embrace Sidene. The words came out hoarsely. They had agreed on this too, she and Elaine. He was Rand, not a monster from the stories, and they had agreed on it. But still, asking a man to... The wonder was that she had gotten the words out at all. Do you see anything? She asked Elaine. Or feel anything? Rand still doled out glances between them, in between staring at the floor and sometimes blushing. Why was he so out of countenance? Studying him fixedly, the daughter heir shook her head. He could just be standing there for all I can tell. Are you sure he is doing anything? He can be stubborn, but he isn't foolish. At least he isn't foolish most of the time. Well, stubborn or foolish or something else, I feel nothing at all. Egwene frowned at him. You said you would do as we ask, Rand. Are you? If you felt something, so should I, and I do not... She broke off with a stifled yelp. Something had pinched her bottom. Rand's lips twitched, clearly fighting a grin. That, she told him crisply, was not nice. He tried to keep his face innocent, but the grin slipped. You said you wanted to feel something, and I just thought... His sudden roar made Egwene jump. Clapping a hand to his left buttock, he hobbled in a pained circle. Blood and ashes, Egwene! There was no need to... He fell off into deeper, inaudible mutters. Egwene was just as glad she did not understand. She took the opportunity to flap the scarf for a little air, and shared a small smile with Elaine. The glow faded around the daughter heir. They both came close to giggling as they rubbed themselves surreptitiously. That should show him. About 100 for 1, Egwene estimated. Turning back to Rand, she put on her sternest face. I would have expected something like that from Matt. I thought you at least had grown up. We came here to help you if we can. Try to cooperate. Do something with the power. Something that isn't childish. Perhaps we will be able to sense that. Hunched, he glared at them. Do something, he muttered. You had no call to... I'll limp for... You want me to do something? Suddenly, she lifted into the air, and Elaine too. They stared at each other wide-eyed as they floated a pace above the carpet. There was nothing holding them. No flows Egwene could feel or see. Nothing. Her mouth tightened. He had no right to do this. No right at all, and it was time he learned it. The same sort of shield of spirit that cut Joya off from the source would stop him too. Aes Sedai used it on the rare men they found who could channel. She opened herself to Sidar, and her stomach sank. Sidar was there, she could feel its warmth and light, but between her and the true source stood something, nothing, an absence that shut her away from the source like a stone wall. She felt hollow inside until panic welled up to fill her. A man was channeling and she was caught in it. He was Rand, of course, but dangling there like a basket, helpless, all she could think of was a man channeling and the taint on Sidine. She tried to shout at him, but all that came out was a croak. You want me to do something? Rand growled. A pair of small tables flexed their legs awkwardly, the wood creaking, and began to stumble about in a stiff parody of dance, guilt flaking off and falling. You like this? Fire flared up in the fireplace, filling the hearth from side to side, burning on stone bare of ashes. Or this. The tall stag and wolves above the fireplace began to soften and slump. Thin streams of gold and silver flowed out from the mass, fining down to shining threads, snaking, weaving themselves into a narrow sheet of metallic cloth. The length of glittering fabric hung in the air as it grew, its far end still linked to the slowly melting statuette on the stone mantle. Do something, Rand said. Do something. Do you have any idea what it is like to touch Sidine, to hold it? Do you? I can feel the madness waiting, seeping into me. Abruptly, the capering tables burst into flame like torches, dancing still. Books spun in the air, pages fluttering. The mattress on the bed erupted, showering feathers across the room like snow. Feathers falling onto the burning tables filled the room with their sharp, sooty stink. For a moment, Rand stared wildly at the blazing tables. Then, whatever was holding Egwene and Elaine vanished, along with the shield. Their heels thumped onto the carpet in the same instant the flames went out as if sucked into the wood they had been consuming. The blaze in the fireplace winked out as well, and the books fell to the floor in a worse jumble than before. The length of gold and silver cloth dropped too, along with strands of rough melted metal, no longer liquid or even hot. Only three largish lumps, two silver and one gold, remained on the mantle, cold and unrecognizable. Egwene had staggered into Elaine as they landed. They clutched each other for support, but Egwene felt the other woman doing exactly what she was doing, embracing Sidar as quickly as she could. In moments, she had a shield ready to throw around Rand if he even appeared to be channeling, but he stood stunned, staring at the charred tables with feathers still drifting down around him, flecking his coat.
So, all we're missing is basically Gwyn kind of telling Rand that she doesn't want to be with him like that. I love you, but I'm not in love with you. And then Elaine kind of hinting that she's fond of Rand.
It's not you, it's me.
Yeah, it's definitely, I even actually, I think I have that written down. She gives her best to, it's not you, it's me fucking statement, you know. She's like trying to tell him it's okay. Oh, thank God. He's like, she's like, well, I'm not into you. He's like, oh, thank God I'm into this really dark, gothic, murdery chick named Lanfear.
Yeah, well, they both kind of give each other the it's not you, it's me. And they're like, no, 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 it's not you, it's me. No, 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 it's not you.
Yeah, it's what's funny is I think Rand flashes back on a little bit. And he's like, oh, she's being so brave. And Egwene's like saying the same thing about her.
Yeah, just once I'd love to be treated like an attractive woman.
No, you wouldn't.
Just once.
Your butt would be sore, buddy.
Hey, I don't know. That would be up to me, wouldn't it? Because I'd be an attractive woman.
You're an attractive lady with a beard right now, so it's fine.
I do have an attractive beard.
You're pretty dreamy.
Jeremy?
Yeah.
You're more than a woman to me.
More than a woman.
More than a woman.
I'm more of a Billy Joel guy. You'll always be a woman.
You're an uptown girl, Justin.
Oh, yeah.
I'll take it.
I'm sorry, Des, you were gonna say something. I talked over you.
It doesn't we were playing beat the joke there, and you guys obviously won, and that's fine with me.
So sorry.
I was laughing so hard when you texted me that how so often the clips you're looking for are ruined with your motherfuckers more than mine.
Yeah, totally.
I was like, I find that hard to believe, but I don't think you'd put it in writing if it wasn't true.
Well, thank God I finally figured out that I can X those out and it'll just very quickly just
bleep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, so thank God. Like, I was at the point where I was just like, I guess I'm putting 10-second clips of Thank the Light online because that's all I got.
But, why is it only beep, clips beep, of me talking?
Beep, yeah, beep, is beep. Jeremy the only host of Thank the Light?
He seems pretty wholesome, and I just hear a bunch of beeps.
It sounds good, and then I go to listen to the actual show, and it's just Justin and Desmond talking about pooping on each other.
I've never pooped on you. That's disgusting. So, back to the show. One of the things that Egwene notices when she first walks in is how Rand has changed, right, Jeremy?
Yeah.
Like, she mentions how he moves more like Lan, and I mean, feel free to jump in, but
well, he's on that keto diet too.
Yeah, he's taking that turkesterone.
I think you better change that pronunciation because that didn't sound like keto.
Keto,
like pedo. And no one wants to know what the pedo diet is. If that's not okay.
Yeah. So what this kind of sets up, you realize as you're reading the books that Moraine is one of the most powerful Aes Sedai that are alive today. And then you come to find out, oh, Egwene is even more powerful than she is, like quite a bit more powerful than she is. And then Elaine is on that same level. And when Rand gets angry at her, she thinks like, oh, you're at least as strong as me, Rand. And what he does is he shields them both, picks them both up in the air, is making the tables walk around, melts something, starts weaving it, bursts, like picks up books and just flinging them through the air. And then when
he melts gold and silver together into fabric.
Yeah, basically he weaves it.
Which is not, I would say, and also I think they make a comment a little later how he made the tables dance. And they're like, yeah, how would you even do that?
Yeah.
Like they can't even wrap their mind around what she's like, maybe with water and air. Or something like that. And you see, like, what is he doing there, Jeremy? He's melting the fabrics. He's tearing up the bed. He's lifted them both off the ground, which, I mean, would you agree?
And shielded them.
But would you agree, physically lifting people off the ground is something that you got to be pretty strong to do?
Yeah, because you find out later, too, when Nynaeve picks up Lan and Rand, like, it takes, like, she has the well, and they're in that one place where she can't channel. It takes like almost the entire well just to pick them up and set them up on top of the roof, like a 3-story building or something like that, because it's really hard to do. So he's doing all this. At the same time, he's shielding two of the most strong Aes Sedai on the planet. And she's like, oh, you're not all at least as strong as me. You're way stronger than me.
He's splitting his flows, what, a dozen different ways, doing some pretty, and it's not like.
Yeah, she's like, I could do like three at a time. He's doing like a dozen.
It's intricate shit, too. It's not just like, I made fire, boom, I made the wall. It's like, he's melting that, he's weaving it together, making things dance, holding them up. It's all stuff that takes a lot of power and a lot of concentration that he's split in a lot of different ways. So you're seeing his natural ability and how much stronger he is than anyone else that we've really seen in the book so far, other than like what I guess we've come across, what, Belal, who's strong.
Yeah, the Forsaken. Yeah.
I know people have their general talents, but are there things that historically, especially in the sense of the breaking when no one can remember how to wipe their ass?
I think they retain that one at least.
Are there things that women just can't do and men just can't do? Or is it just...
So, yeah. And in probably another couple paragraphs, they ask Rand, like, you just made that fire go out and that was in the fireplace. And you... Oh, it was the tables were on fire. And she goes, how did you get the tables to go out so fast without like using air or water or anything? And he says, oh, I just pulled the fire into me and then put it into the bricks.
In the hearth.
And she's like, you can't, she goes, you can't do that. And he goes, yeah, no, you can totally do that. And she goes, I tried doing that with a candle and it like melted my fingers.
Yeah, like burned her like third degree burns, like really, really bad.
Yeah.
That was Elaine, right?
That's something that a guy can do that a girl can't do.
Just period. It's not because Rand is so powerful and the women just.
Probably has something to do with the fact that men are generally stronger in fire.
Right.
If you had something that was probably, say, what a woman is, stronger in air and water.
Yeah, air and water.
So maybe if you had something that was similar,
yeah,
where you were dissipating cold or something, maybe the women could do that and the men couldn't, but they never really cover that.
So women can link together?
Yes.
They can link by the...
Yeah, and no men docking. Men cannot dock. You got to have a, Eiffel Tower minimum.
Yeah,
no touchy tips.
No touchy.
Seems like some bullshit.
For more Thank the Light, head on over to patreon.com/soundsawesome. That's patreon.com/soundsawesome.
Jeremy, correct me if I'm wrong. There is no way that we're told that women are given any kind of a heads up that men are channeling, but men get like the chills or goosebumps when they channel.
Oh, that is a total.
When women channel in proximity, like that's the only tell. As far as I can remember.
Yeah, ladies don't have that. They have to like actually have something like you can set a weave or something like that to where if a guy's channeling near you,
right.
It'll set it off, but that's it. Or there's actually Terangriel that will tell you like, hey, somebody's channeling. And if it's a mana
or to like glow almost like Bilbo's sword, you know.
And it's funny because you're, you know, in that scene that we were just talking about with Rand when he does like 15 different things, and you realize like he's kind of just doing it on instinct, because like just a little bit later he gathers up some feathers and he's like standing there and he's like holding them and he's trying to like do something, and he just realizes
trying to make a flower out of it
for, yeah, so he's like, I can't do it. He's like, oh, I made a flower for the head housekeeper. I can't remember what they called her, the Madi, I think.
Majira.
Yeah, Majira. I made a flower for her the other day. And he goes, and I just can't do it today. So it's something that he does on instinct, but when he has to think about it, it's more difficult for him sometimes, at least at this point.
That's definitely something that goes away. Well, no, you know what? It does come back pretty prevalently later. He has a hard time channeling sometimes.
And I did listen to this whole chapter today. I may just be forgetting, but like with the clip we just listened to, I feel like what they can sense and what they can't sense and what they can do and what they can't do are based on their individual levels of power, not based on Pyr Sidar Sidine.
I think that's correct.
You're talking about the books or the TV show?
The books right now.
Okay.
Like just I'm maybe just not forgetting a conversation that went along, or maybe the conversation that we just cut off, maybe they get into it and I can't remember that. But like, because I was thinking that, you know, what Nynaeve and Elaine could and couldn't feel and what Rand could and couldn't do or could do were based on how powerful they were, not just because of Sidine and Sidar. Is any of this based on their level, or is this all just purely based on Sidine and Sidar? The fact that Rand can feel their weaves, they can't feel his weaves, he's super duper powerful with fire. They don't know what to do with it. Yeah.
No. So the being able to getting the goosebumps, that's something that all the guys can do. All of them, from the weakest to the strongest.
Yeah. Even the weakest channeler would feel that. Yeah.
And even the most powerful female channeler would never be able to feel a male channel.
No, they don't feel
it. As far as we know. And, one of the things, kind of what you're saying, it's like, as far as like, I was kind of drifting off because I was thinking about what you were saying in a sense of like the five powers.
Yeah.
As you go further along and we meet other channelers that aren't just Aes Sedai, and having that history that the Aes Sedai teach you, you see some of the Shan Chan women are very strong in stuff that men are normally strong in, and vice versa. So you find one of the strongest healers alive, like as good of a healer as Nynaeve, is one of the first men to come to the tower to get tested. And he's like an old dude. He's like 65, 70. He was like a guardsman in the Andor Guard, and he's retired now. And he's just like, you know, I don't know. My granddad went crazy or something, so I thought I'd come get tested. And he ends up being crazy strong like Nynaeve, and like a natural healer as good as Nynaeve. And he's a man, and he does it differently and yet kind of the same, you know. And he can kind of look at her when she's healing somebody, and while he can't see her flows, he can kind of like piece out what she's doing. So you start to see men and women that are you know, maybe exceptions to the rule. I don't know, Jeremy.
Yeah, well, I think what it is sometimes, I mean, it's like a...
like anything, you have an affinity for something.
It's like guys and girls with anything, like, you know.
Right. Some chicks are really good at baseball or basketball.
Exactly. You know?
It's funny. I was going to say the same thing. Like, if you never told a girl she had to play softball, she'd probably be good at baseball.
Right.
We always tell them to go play softball, and therefore...
Oh, girls can't hit little balls like this, Desmond. No, of course. No, I agree with you 100%. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
I'm clearly being a fucking asshole, because that was a way of thinking at some point.
Absolutely.
Sure.
And it still is, unfortunately. A lot of...
They're ladies. They need a bigger one.
They need them.
And make the bats extra fat. Dude, I'm sorry. Have you ever seen those chicks that do fast pitch? That's terrifying.
Woo! Thank you for listening to Thank the Light, the Wheel of Time podcast. Please like, subscribe, and tell a friend about Thank the Light. And please check out our Patreon at patreon.com/soundsawesome. That's patreon.com/soundsawesome, where for $3 a month, you can receive an exclusive episode every 2 weeks. If you would like to continue to support the show for free, we just ask again that you please like, subscribe, and tell a friend about Thank the Light. Check us out on Twitter and Instagram at Wolf Brothers at Parsta Ailman. We are Wolf Brothers at Parsta Ailman, or Facebook, where we are WOTE:the Wheel of Time podcast. Send questions and comments to thankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com. Looking for another great podcast to listen to while you wait for the next episode of Thank the Light? Head on over to whatsoundsawesome.com and check out our great podcast lineup. We have comedy spirituality, time travel movies, fitness and nutrition, and coming soon, we have Movies Are Us, where you guessed it, we're going to be talking about movies that you could find at the wonderful brick and mortar store of Toys R Us. If it's a game, if it's a board game, if it's a video game, if it's just a good old-fashioned toy and they have turned it into a movie, we are going to discuss it very soon. Stay posted for the soon-to-be-released podcast, Movies Are Us. You can find it at whatsoundsawesome.com, along with All the Answers, Truth Not Trends, Time Pop, Be Brave, and That Fitness Couple. You can find it at whatsoundsawesome.com or wherever you find fine, free podcasts. All right, Justin, clean this up for us and we'll get out of here.
Bring it home. Words that have never been said before, Alex.
Yeah, boy. Okay. Hey, take us home, fatty. You can get it. Okay. I will. So I feel like one of the reasons why I kind of picked this scene a little bit is I feel like this would be a good scene that you could do in just a couple of minutes that would really give some scale to the power and show really that Rand is not just like every other channeler in this world. And what are you laughing at? What'd I say?
I said it would have been great. It's not going to happen.
I know it's not going to happen. That's what I'm saying. Why would they not just put something in like this? And I think my next question is, if the way they kind of dealt with the, Rand can see the male flows shielding Moraine, would that be in hand? If they had this scene, they're not going to, obviously. If they had this scene, would it be enhanced by that mechanic in the show, or would it take away from it? Because Rand could see the flows on Moraine, kind of, would that change the scene in any way? Would they add something to it, or would it be would that mechanic just fall right in to this scene?
It would take away from every, I'm going to go white cloak on this. They would never show this scene because it would prove just how much more powerful Rand is than the girls.
Yep.
And they do not want,
they cannot have that,
to put him 10 levels above every female on the show.
Right. Yep. Right. Right. Well, it wouldn't be above every female, because I'd say that Lanfear would still be up there. But yeah, up as far as his peers go.
Yeah,
I would agree.
Yeah.
And that was my, I feel like it would, if they tried to put the scene in there, that it would kind of fall on its face unless they'd have to add some stuff to it. They couldn't just put,
if they had set up already that the Dragon Reborn is the most powerful thing that's ever existed in the last 5,000 years, then fine. But
yeah,
they're burying that fact.
Yeah, they're burying the lead wholeheartedly.
Well, I will say that they did say that he, in the first season, they said that Loghain's power compared to his was nothing. He's going to be like a bright burning sun. They didn't say he, because when Loghain saw Nynaeve, he was like a bright burning sun or whatever, even though he's not supposed to be able to see her weaves. He totally saw her weaves. And then they tried to backtrack and say, that's not what he saw. They just saw light coming off of her. Okay, whatever.
No, that's.
But they did try to set it up, but then they just abandoned.
Yeah.
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 Why? I wonder why. Why do you think that is? What? That makes no sense. Why would you just.
Terrible writing, horrible directing, bad acting.
Something for a little bit more critical than that, if there is an actual reason.
Cinematography, terrible editing.
Well, and they could level it a little bit. They could make Rand the most powerful Jedi without making him a god. They could still prove a point. They could still stick to the book without making every woman useless. the Dragon Reborn can still be a god amongst.
Yeah, because the thing about it is, you can really set up the power scale and the things that he can do as a, if we're going Dungeons and Dragons, as a constitution dexterity thing. Yes, his power level is a 90 out of 100 and everyone else around him is a 75.
Yeah.
But, or everyone else is an 85, but the way he can wield and do things is, you know, he taps into his instincts, which are ancient, which are, it's ancient. His knowledge is ancient because it's like muscle memory, because it's his soul.
Yeah.
And that's what makes me believe that the One Power is something of the soul, because they put other souls in different bodies. And it's definitely something that comes from your soul. And so his soul remembers these things to do them. And that's what makes him, that takes his power level. That's his booster. You know, it takes him from everyone. He's an 88. Everyone else is in 75 to an 85, or there's weaker than that. But then his knowledge and his experience boost him up to that next fucking level is the way I would, if that's the way I would do it in the show, because they've already set it up that he's not, you know.
And that concludes.
Star Wars does a really good job of that, actually.
And that concludes our what won't be in the show portion of this podcast.
Sponsored by Cousin Jeremy.
Put your dagger in the horn box.
Show's going to get better. You always find water and shade.
Dragon Reborn. Good night, Lady Nightshade.
Nope, you just keep coming on, because if you don't, I mean, who's going to keep you from becoming such a huge critic?
You're giving me the it's not you, it's me routine? I invented it's not you, it's me. Nobody tells me it's them, not me. If it's anybody, it's me.
All right. George, it's you.
You're damn right it's me.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
Put a space there, Des. Say, almost, comma, insert that, please.